You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on July 20th, 2022, and is titled, The Trick of the Tithe. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
It promotes the idea that God still has something yet to give you. Now y'all are really thinking. We're going to do something so God will do something. What else is God going to do? Because he poured out his spirit one time. The only way to miss it is be like Saul of Tarsus, and you got to come to that moment in time when the scales come off your eyes and you cry out and you hit your knees and you say, who are you, Lord? The kingdom's been exposed. The window's been opened. He said, I'll open my window and I'll pour out blessings more than you can hold. Why do we walk in such a minimal way of Christianity? Because we have minimized ourselves by obedience to the law and the institutions of men. We have minimized a walk that says, I've been given everything necessary for life and godliness. I've been given everything necessary for life and godliness. Ephesians 1 says, he has now blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. What else are we waiting on? When we minimize our walk and we use the tools of religion to manipulate men in a way that makes men believe they can manipulate God, we are foolish. That window's open. Never again will a man die for your sins, and never again will the Son of God rise from the tomb. Never again will the Holy Spirit be poured out from heaven because he's already here. I live in lack because I ask not, therefore I have not. It's already here. The Bible says that my Father in heaven knows everything I need before I even ask. Yet we've minimized your walk by telling you if you'll obey this minimal thing to do, if you'll satisfy the institution, God will be pleased with you. If you'll take a lie and try to make it truth and sow seed that's not seed to get a harvest that'll never happen. I'm preaching good. Why would we lack? And why would those around us lack? When there's a need. We learned all this the hard way. We gave away a lot of money because of our emotions. It was immature. We was pretty immature. A little more mature now, a little harder to get along with. Now we just listen to the Holy Spirit. But you know what happens? The more I've learned to trust the voice of God, the more open-handed I've become. I don't fear what God is going to ask. Do you? The more open-handed you become, the freer you are. Freedom is the highest valued commodity known to man. The more generous you become, the freer you are. We've minimized your freedom with a tenth. Y'all got time for a couple more? Go over here to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Verse 21. He's talking to the rich young ruler. And so starting in verse 16, this rich young man comes to him and he said, Behold, he came, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? You see, that's a dumb question to start with. What good thing must I do to have eternal life? What do I do to satisfy the law? That didn't go away with Matthew 19. We're still doing the same thing today. What do I do to check the box? And he said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Did he say enter into heaven? My Bible says he enter into life. How do you live life to the full? This is really good. The Holy Spirit's really helping me right here. How do you live life to the full? It's called freedom. Freedom. Freedom to work, freedom to live, freedom to live out your hopes, your desires, your dreams, your purposes with God, everything that happens, the freedom to do all those things. And he said, if you'll keep the commands, you can live life. Keeping the commands doesn't sound like freedom, but isn't that what we strive to do if you actually know Jesus? Is our obedience out of love for the Lord or our fear of screwing up? He said, because you love me, you'll obey me. Because you obey me, I know you love me. It's all rooted in love. And he said, so keep these commandments, but you won't find a tenth in here. You shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, lie, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it says. Doesn't say one syllable about church attendance or a tenth. Then he says, here's the tithing message. He said, all these things I've done since I was a kid. Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Turn it over. You know what we've done in America today? You don't need a king, you just need a savior. Pray the prayer, blow the snot, and we'll see you in heaven. Jesus, come by, lick a stamp, stuff it on your hind end, and you'll be up the ladder in a minute. That's how we tell it, ain't it? Or better than that, you better be in the barn. One of these days, that trumpet's going to blow, and we're just going to suck you up like a vacuum cleaner. Be sure you've been tithing. They've been keeping score up there in the old treasury house. They got a book. That's not true. It's just not true. And it sounds so silly when you say it like that, but how many of us have, and look, I'm not telling this tonight to go knock everybody's thing. Do your thing, whatever. But y'all have ministries. How many of y'all still got kids at home? Anybody got kids at home? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many of y'all got grandkids? There's another 10 or 12. So we've got at least 20 youth groups represented in this room. We have at least 20 youth programs supported by this fellowship today. Do you know if you'll keep handing down false stuff, you'll generationally grow farther apart from God? Because the institutions are the man-made veil that Jesus sought to destroy. Everything that can take the place of God. If you trust your giving as opposed to the ultimate giver, hello, Houston, we got a problem. What have we done? The institution of government has shot money through a fire hose to the point that we can't get off the cow. Won't survive without government assistance. It's all a manipulation of money. It's a Babylonian model. Well, be careful if things that say they represent the kingdom of God start looking like Babylonians. Just know this, they stole your name, but you're in the wrong house. Don't take that home to your house. Go home and handle things at your house like the kingdom of God. He told the ruler, he said, give it all up. Have you ever done that? 2 Corinthians 9. And while you're turning there, I just want to reiterate something out of Matthew 21. It's the lesson of the fig tree when Jesus was coming to the temple and he came across a fig tree that didn't bear any fruit. It had leaves, but no fruit. Be careful about all that. There's a lot of things that look good on the outside, but it's got no sustenance. It's got no fruit. In his journey, he got mad and he cursed the fig tree and he said, never again will you produce fruit. But on that journey, he went in the temple. It's one of my favorite parts of the Bible where Jesus took a whip and he turned the tables over in the temple and he said, you den of thieves, you den of robbers, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. You bunch of thieving money changers. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Right there is where we get the money gig. It's not about money. The whole bounty of the storehouse was about farming. It was about agriculture. It was about what God does in his creation. Who should get this better than anybody? We should. We should. I'm excited to introduce myself to Mr. O'Rourke Friday and welcome him to West Texas, where we hold the keys to food, fuel, and fiber, all three which is necessary for you to survive the day. The home of patriots who still strive for the moral high ground. Welcome to West Texas. It's about bringing your goods. All the Old Testament things that we do, we bring first fruit offerings. That was all about the harvest, where you had actually planted seed. And you brought the bounty to the barn. If you don't sow enough seed, how many of y'all in here farm? How many of y'all know seed got really high this year? So in order to have what would be a good dry land wheat crop, 2 bushels to the acre. Yeah, what's a good dry land wheat crop other than this year? 40 bushel, 50 bushel, 35. Yeah, that's pretty standard. So how much seed do you have to sow to get a 40 bushel crop? How many pounds the acre? 30 pounds the acre to get a 40 pound crop, hopefully. But it's about an even deal. But this year you went, okay, I can only, 30 pounds. I don't know how much wheat seed costs, but say wheat seed costs, $100 for 30 pounds. I don't know how much it is. But it used to be 50. Well, this just ain't going to pencil out. So I'm only going to sow $50 worth of wheat seed. So I'm going to sow 15 pounds per acre. But I'm going to expect a 40 bushel crop. Huh? It will? Well, if he waters it. But you know as a farmer that you have to sow as much seed as necessary. Do you know why there's not a harvest of righteousness in the United States of America today? Because we're not seed sowers. You know why we're not seed sowers? Because we paid somebody to do it for us. And in order to sustain that operation of events, we have to continue to promote the tithe or it won't survive. I've been preaching for 26 years, preach my toenails off. And do it just like Paul said. I work with my hands in order to be a burden to no one, that I might preach this gospel free of charge. This book does not cost anything. To read it does not cost anything. To live it will cost you everything you got. To tell it does not cost anything. What's the problem? If he has provided seed for the sower, then where's the sowers? Have we trained from the institution men and women who want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ to be sowers of money or sowers of the word? What seed works best for the seed of your womb? This seed. What seed will bring a seed, a harvest of righteousness? This seed. So I'm going to tell it a little different than Sheldon did right there. I think you need to sow $100 worth of this word here in order to get a 40 bushel crop. You got to sow the whole thing. You got to get in the word. That's why we teach for over an hour. You got to have the pockets for this. Because I don't believe in one scripture, one time a week, that you just kind of blurt it out on somebody, tell a couple good stories, sing some really good songs, have three or four prayers, run the bucket by, get you two mites in the bucket, and then everybody get out of here and live like you live in the kingdom of God, which we absolutely fail at. And the best that we can hope for is after we die, we're just going to reside in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you right now, you want to reside in the kingdom of God later? You better start doing it now. And the only way to do that is to sow seed. So he says right here, if you sow a little, you're not going to get much. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not the tenth. Give as you purpose in your heart. Give as the Holy Spirit leads. Give that whatever it is that God wakes you up in the middle of the night. When you find yourself praying for somebody, maybe that's the problem. Maybe we don't know how to weep over Jerusalem. Maybe we don't pray for other people. Maybe we don't care. Give it as you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Not because you have to, but because you want to. He loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of for every good work as it is written. Then it goes down verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He never was talking about money. He's talking about a harvest of righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to God. What did he say? I've given you everything so you are free. Free to live, free to love, free to give, free to do, free to serve. Free. Because he's made all things available. I've got a lot more scriptures written down there. I think I've told enough tonight to get everybody at least mixed up. But I'm telling you tonight that sometime, maybe not in our lifetime, that veil's coming down again. But I'm not going to wait on God to knock it down. I'm going to continue to chip away at the things that separate man from God. I don't tell anything here in this group that I hadn't already worked it out at the house, or at least working on it. I'm telling you right now today, all of you, if you'll become a second miler, you start walking with God and you do it from now on. You take him like you did your wife, for better or for worse, and you go do it. One of these days you'll get far enough down the road that you have found your way to freedom, and you have found your way into blessing, and you found your way into peace, and you found your way into purpose, and you found your way into hearing the voice of God on a daily basis so that you can live in harmony with God, and everything that you own now belongs to his, and he just wants you to enjoy it. To live open-handed. To just be a living, convincing proof of his kingdom. That's it. That's it. What's the end game? So they will know that I am the Lord. That's it. So what if there's another veil that we've erected? But we trust the institution to do the work of God. How's that work? It doesn't. I trust my King. And I trust him enough, if he says to do this, then I'm going to try to do it. If he says to give this, I'm going to try to give it. I'm going to try to be a participant in the barn and not the ivory tower. I want to be a true messenger of the kingdom so that kitchen tables can live kingdomly. My last line before we pray. If a guy took a survey of churches and church people and asked them, what is the fruit of your fellowship? What would you tell me? I've actually had a pastor tell me that he believed that their building and facility was a reflection of their worship. Would it be your head count? Would it be your bank account? What would be the fruit? Here's the fruit that I look for. A lot of my fruit that I hope to see dies because they don't hang on the vine long enough. A lot of fruit chooses to fall off the vine. But the ones who stick, you see the fruit of the kitchen table. You see the seed of their family growing up to serve the Lord. You see them operating in freedom and peace and two becoming more one all the time and a convincing proof out in the world that Jesus is truly their Lord, not the Lord, their Lord. That's fruit. You see, fruit always produces seed. That's kitchen table business right there. That's generational stuff. So, did I totally mess everybody up tonight? I hope not. And I hope it's not taken out of context, but there's just some things that hinder our walk. So before we close tonight, I just so enjoyed last week, and we're gonna get justly. I've been practicing. Well, I'm terrible. And if your name's not Sam or Fred or something, I have a hard time. But Justly's gonna be baptized here in a minute. And so if you need to go get ready or something, go help yourself. If there's anybody else tonight that's heard from God that you want to obey God in water baptism, dying to yourself, rising up to new life in water baptism, then we encourage that tonight, and it's all welcome. But between now and then, if there's somebody here tonight that's got a very special need, this is how I just feel led to do it here for a while. I just want you to raise your hand up and say, hey, I got this, and I'm going to come over there, and some of us are going to put our hands on you, and we're going to pray for you. If you're one of them, and I talked about it at the very beginning tonight, and you sit here and listen, and you go, I want that. I want that. I want you to know who I know and have what I have. because God has given me everything. Everything. If you don't have that, I want to help you. Does anybody here tonight need anything, or are we everybody good? We all good? Okay, I'm going to pray.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, The Trick of the Tithe. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.